Hello and welcome to Bittersweet Symphony. I'm Cliona Ryan, a violinist with the Irish Chamber Orchestra, and I'm going to be chatting to friends and colleagues, freelancers and leaders from every section of our national orchestras and ensembles to find out what happened to them when their instruments were packed away and the music stopped. Today I'm going to be chatting with Aoife Burke. She's an incredible cellist, chamber musician, orchestral musician and curator. We chat about the bitter memory of a loss but a life beautifully lived, the sweet memory of a perfect day, and the bittersweet of a home that may never be returned to. This is Aoife Burke. Welcome to Bittersweet Symphony, and thanks so much for taking the time and, you know, going on this journey of memory and reminiscing. I wonder how you found it.
I'm definitely looking back on some of the lockdowns with rose-tinted glasses, because they were definitely up and down for me, and now I'm sort of like yearning for those lovely cozy days of just like making your own food all the time and like having loads of time to go for walks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit the same as well. Like I want to slam the brakes on a bit. Where did you spend? Where were you?
So yeah, in March 2020, I went on a trip to Paris, like on the 6th to the 8th of March with Camerata Ireland. We did two concerts there and they were absolutely jam-packed. Like, and then a lot of that group was in the following morning with the RTE Concert Orchestra for their production of Carmen with Irish National Opera. We were all in Studio One and it was just jam-packed. And I was like, I think people were getting a bit on edge. The 12th of March was a Thursday, and that day I was due to fly to London to go to my boyfriend's aunt's 70th, which was this big family reunion.
Oh.
Anyway, none of us went. We didn't go because we were just reading about spread of the virus and we just concluded it might be a bit irresponsible. So I went down west to where my boyfriend was, and he was living sort of in this lovely house really close to a pier onto Loch Carrib in the middle of nowhere in Galway. So anyway, yeah, I went there in the 12th of March and I was still there at the beginning of June. That, I think that's my bittersweet memory, because I think in general have sort of like a love-hate relationship with Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed living there for a couple of years, but I also just found it like it's not a nice city, I think, to be an artist in. And I was sort of just working maybe too much there, and I remember just feeling really run down and feeling really ill and exhausted, like a lot of the time.
Wow.
So yeah, I was excited about the prospect of leaving there and just like having a bit more time and freedom and space and, you know, but I haven't been back there since. And
really?
I mean, I've been back for a few nights at a time, but I've never, like, I haven't lived there.
You're like, Dublin, I'm breaking up with you.
Yeah, it was a bit like that, but like sort of out of the blue, and also nobody knew how long this whole pandemic would last or how long the effects would last.
Yeah. Like I remember, you know, I had lent someone a book, Three Women.
Oh, I was reading that.
And I was like, don't worry about it, I'll get it off you in a few weeks or something like
that. Yes.
I literally haven't seen that person since, you know.
Yeah.
On looking back, were there things that you had forgotten? And you say your memory was quite rose-tinted.
I think I forgot the sort of paralyzing fear of it. It's really important to remember that. But like, yeah, it's the kind of thing that I do tend to forget, that there was a real sort of fear for somebody else's health by this relatively new threat. Like, I guess we didn't know as much, we definitely didn't know as much about how it was spread, or like, yeah. I do tend to forget that there was this anxiety and this, yeah.
Had you been together long before, like, essentially moving in together into the wilds of the west of Ireland?
Not really. Like, I mean, we have known each other for years and years. I think we first met when I was 16. Yeah, that was also a really steep learning curve, because he had been living in Galway and I was in Dublin. And we saw each other maybe like 2 days, like, between gigs or work or whatever.
Mm.
And then both of us were in the middle of nowhere in Galway, and like all our work had been cancelled, and there were amazing highs and I think moments where both of us just needed to like go for a run. or whatever. Did you take a break, Lena? Did you keep playing?
I did not keep playing, Aoife.
Neither did I.
So many people were like, oh, getting their unaccompanied Bach out, or going, I'm going to do a Kreutzer. Yeah, exactly. Oh. And I just, when I finally, like, my suitcase stayed, because I'd always just have a suitcase in my room kind of ready to go, like it wasn't packed away. And I didn't put that away for about 3 weeks. And then also my violin. And then I think one day I actually just emptied the suitcase, you know, cleaned it out properly for the first time in ages and put it away.
I love hoovering a good suitcase.
And I also put my violin away. Yeah. Like I put it somewhere where I couldn't even see it, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't play for a good few months, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the same. I took a break for, I'd say it must have been nearly like 2.5 or 3 months, because I felt like I'd never have this kind of time again. And that I hadn't had it since I was like, before I started learning, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe a summer holiday during primary school. But I think we still would have been, you know, encouraged to practice a bit. And
totally.
And I also figured that there'd always be enough time on the other side when things started opening up again for me to allow myself to take a really proper break, like cold turkey, just no playing.
So I did ask you to think of three memories, one bitter, one sweet, and one bittersweet.
My bitter memory is from last academic year, from September 2020 to June 21. I did like a course of further study, just masterclasses in the Scuola di Musica di Fiesole outside Florence in Italy. The idea was that I would go once a month for a few hours of lessons and then come back to where I was living. But in April, I was there and I got news that my grandfather's eldest sister, Maura Wheadle, had died. And at the time, Italy was on the mandatory hotel quarantine list for Ireland.
Okay.
So I just knew once I got the news that I wasn't going to be able to be there for her funeral. And I ended up watching it in Italy, like on my own in my hotel room.
That must have been so difficult, Aoife.
Yeah, but basically I don't really want to talk about that because it's so sad. I wanted to just fill you a bit on her.
You know, I was going to say, just tell me about her.
Her name was Maura Garvey and she grew up she was born in Clonlara, which is like a tiny village in East Clare. Mm-hmm. And then for her secondary school education, she got a scholarship to Cláiste Ida down in Dingle, which was a Gaelic school, like a training school for primary school teachers.
Oh, wow.
And after that, she moved to Cork, where she lived in a little flat like near Patrick's Hill with her two other brothers, including my grandfather. And while she was in Cork, she joined the first ever BMOS class in UCC. Like she did a BMOS after qualifying as a primary school teacher, and she studied piano with Tilly Fleischman. And for her final exam, Alois and Tilly Fleischman had invited Arnold Bax, the composer, over as the extern.
Oh, wow.
And I think she played a piece by him as maybe her final piece in her final recital. She was the last person to play in that day. And that night he was walking on a beach in Kinsale with Alois, and Arnold Bax got a heart attack. And he died later that night in the Fleischman's house.
Really? I didn't know that story at all.
Yeah, she used to always joke that her playing killed him, that gave him a heart attack. Which is funny. And yeah, anyway, so eventually she moved to Dublin where she taught in Lucan. And then she met her husband, Michael Wheadle, who was a music teacher at Clongowes-Wood College. And they moved to Clane, where they lived for the rest of their life. But she was just such a formidable lady. Like, she set up a choir near Clane. Like, she took the choir on trips all around the world. Like, they went to Moscow in the 80s. And she sold, like, jeans from Dunn Stores on the black market in Moscow. Even in her 90s, she was always the person who'd ask the questions that nobody else had the gumption to ask at parties or family gatherings. Like, she used to ask me if I'd had many one-night stands, or like why I was voting such a way in the marriage equality referendum or the Eighth Amendment referendum.
Yeah.
She had her funeral planned to the last, like the reception was going to be in Barberstown Castle because she used to go there for lunch quite a lot. basically, yeah, she had just been such an amazing support to me. She had such an interest in music and a real love for it. And also, she was fluent in Irish and used to just, she had the most beautiful turn of phrase and just so many gorgeous aspects of her personality would have been, you know, special to celebrate at her funeral. And it was really, really a small little gathering.
I think it is an experience, a loss, like a bitter moment that you do share with a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was one of the toughest things about it all, was not being able to grieve, especially the way we grieve in Ireland, you know, the way we gather and tell a story. I mean, they're a celebration of a life, like you say, you know, it would have been all the people that would have wanted to celebrate her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your sweet memory, Aoife?
My sweet memory is much more straightforward. It's just on Easter Saturday in 2020, Matt, my boyfriend, and I went down to the pier onto Lochcarb that was really close to his house. It was within the 2 kilometre radius. And Jim came along and he runs a kayak school nearby, and they had 2 spare kayaks on their little trailer. So they gave it to the 2 of us, and the weather was just glorious. It was amazing, like the colour of the water. It just looked like liquid sapphire or something. You know, I was like, God, we'd never had this kind of time. Just to like go for an impromptu swim, which turned into an impromptu kayak for a couple of hours. And then as a thank you to the Morrisseys, I went home that night and made like a lemon curd meringue roulade from scratch. And then I made one for us as well.
Wow.
So yeah, I think I feel almost giddy like talking about it because it was so exhilarating. I don't know, I never really would have been so outdoorsy or like whatever outdoorsy is. I wouldn't have done so much like physical outdoor activity.
Wow.
Like the gym was probably the extent of any exercise I might have done while I was living in Dublin.
Yeah.
And then just to be like, I don't know, going out into the countryside and going for runs and swims and kayaks.
And then being able to come home and having the luxury of all that time to make this incredibly complex dessert.
Yeah. Can I ask you about your memories?
Yeah, you can if you like. I haven't really thought about them though. I haven't selected specific ones.
Yeah.
There were a lot of really difficult things.
Mm.
My dad lost his partner of 15 years in July 2020. And he went through the few weeks before her death. She was where, you know, in their home, and he went through that on his own.
Yeah.
With the support of palliative care nurses, but everything else he did on his own. And I think a lot of that was probably incredibly difficult and possibly even traumatic. He was cocooning, you know, and with someone who was trying to live and that was incredibly compromised. So that was bitter.
Yeah.
I went through some things myself that I had to go through on my own, and that was rough. No one could come. No one was allowed to come and help me, really.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't have allowed them to, you know, because there would have been too great a risk. I mean, I really loved a lot of the time on my own. Like the sweet thing, actually, was my community.
Near your house?
Like the neighbours. We'd have sundowner cocktails or bringing hot water bottles around. Like I knew that I could last about an hour with a hot water bottle and blankets for drinks in autumn and winter, and sunrise hikes, and when we were able to get as far as the mountains. And my neighbours, when I was going through a really difficult time with panic and anxiety and stuff, my neighbours used to lend me their dog, and I used to be able to walk their dog every day. Because that little dog didn't know what was happening in the world. That little dog was just completely himself. Billy the cockapoo. There were just all these amazing gestures of kindness and connection.
Yeah.
Bittersweet is probably going back to things.
Yeah.
Maybe. What? How about your bittersweet memory, Aoife?
I think it's just moving from Dublin, that time that we packed up the flat.
Because you've made another move since, right? You've moved to London.
Yeah, I've moved to London since.
And how do you find being there now that things are changing everywhere, both there and here as well?
I'm absolutely loving it at the moment. Like, things are really getting back to...
some kind of normal.
Yeah, I just started going to concerts and gigs and exhibitions and things like that again. And it's just really, there's just so much to do.
Can you maybe talk a little bit about your bittersweet memory?
Yeah, I think just like that day moving away from Dublin, I wasn't necessarily prepared or ready for that to be the last time that I would live there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I just, that day that we did pack up the flat and move all my stuff back to Galway, I didn't expect that a year and a half later I still wouldn't have moved back.
Yeah.
It just felt like, of course it did for everyone, but it felt like such an abrupt sort of falling off the edge of a cliff in terms of like the life that I was used to or had created or cared for.
I wonder, would it even be the same if you went back?
Yeah. And also, I do love being in the country and just like having more time and more actual physical space. So that was all really sweet. And also, I think I did feel this enormous sort of wave or wash of freedom being free from the rental market in Dublin, which like I've been thinking more and more about the last couple of years, like as I get older and like all my friends are just paying like extortionate rents, really, like relative to salaries. Like, it is a bit bitter that it was so sudden, and I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of taking the good with the bad.
It's a bit like breaking up with a relationship or something like that, that if you don't get to do a proper ending or a proper goodbye, it can feel like something that's not resolved or that you never really, you know, understood what it was at the time. You know, maybe you would have had a last meal or a pint in your favourite pub before you left, or some ceremonial aspect to it or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you feel that you will have a different kind of consciousness about how you want to live and how you want to be? What do you want to hold on to and carry forward?
I think I really want to travel a lot less.
You mean tour or travel?
I think I mean specifically traveling by plane, actually. I think the more I read about flying, the more I despair about the climate and what we're doing and what's become normal.
Okay.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
I guess it's hard as a freelancer to say no to things sometimes, but I want to do that a bit more, I think. Just not even for based on whether or not I want to do that particular work, just more like how I want to spend my time. I'm going to try, I think, to be a bit more conscious about that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think like part of me wanting to do this is also like an exercise for myself to be really mindful about what happens from here on out as we're kind of opening up, whatever that means. Or there's been so much richness and diversity in my lived experience in the last 18 months, both in terms of the things that I do, the places I go, how I engage with my environment and the people that I've met. It's just like Oz, you know, whereas I was in Kansas. That's too stark a thing, because I was having amazing musical experiences. Absolutely amazing. But I do feel like I was very much just doing, going and doing, and not allowing space for creativity or learning, education, taking risks, challenging myself, and building new friendships and exploring the laneways and the byways and stopping, noticing, you know, all that stuff. And I just really want to try and maintain that as much as I can in my life. And be really mindful and conscious and awake. Just stay awake.
But are you maybe saying that you don't necessarily want to get back to the same level of activity or?
I want to get back to the, I want to have more time to do creative things.
Yeah.
Like learning how to do new things. I'm studying Baroque violin.
Yeah.
Yeah, just staying awake, you know, because I feel like I lost my sure feck it, give it a lash, which is what I would have done to kind of overcome any lack of confidence or insecurity or imposter syndrome. I would have been, just put your foot forward.
Yeah.
Just try it. And I kind of lost that. And I think that can happen really easily to like mid-profession musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like also then in my time off, not being okay, so then I have to do this and I have to do that and I've got to do blah, 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 and being kind of robotic, because I used to be kind of robotic about even when I wasn't working.
I can relate to that a lot.
I don't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
I don't have to do any of that, you know. So it's maintaining that kind of sense of elbow room in my own life or something, and autonomy and choice and freedom and
spontaneity.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say? Or like what, or even just to say what it's been, what this has been like, or?
I'm just thrilled you asked me to do it. Thanks, man. Like, it's so lovely to, well, I actually think it's probably cathartic. I'm doing this thing at the moment where, anyway, one of the days everyone was just in bits crying.
What day? What do you mean, everyone?
Sorry, yeah. So it's a production of Macbeth at the Almeida. And on day two, the director was doing some movement stuff with us. And we were partnered with people and we had to treat them really tenderly and be quite aggressive and quite forceful and all these different sort of. And then at the end, we had to look into someone's eyes for, I think, maybe 10 minutes straight. And people just dissolved into tears. Like, I think there's just probably so much pent up emotion and tension. And, you know, it's just actually really important, but also really productive and really cathartic for us to think about what happened to us and around us and what we felt and how we reacted. But yeah, so yeah, I had a really nice time like going through photos and diaries and chatting to like my family members and friends and partner about these memories. So thanks for asking me to do that.
Thank you so much, Aoife, for sharing so many memories and experiences that I think we can all identify with. It was a really beautiful conversation. There are so many more open, honest, funny, and touching conversations to come in the months ahead. So listen along and like and subscribe if you don't want to miss an episode. You can follow on Instagram at ryan.cliana, on Twitter at clianaviolin, and on Facebook at Bittersweet Symphony Podcast, where you can use the hashtag Bittersweet Symphony to share your own bittersweet and bittersweet memories.